Good morning.
Good morning.
Please be seated. Welcome to Burlington East on this beautiful sunny Sunday. I have a couple of announcements to add to what's in your bulletin. First of all, there were a couple of changes. I am not Denise Crawford, I'm Susan Stock. Denise is under the weather today. And your greeters this morning were not Walt and Lois Richards, it was Kenneth Alexander and his children Isaac and Shayla. Just a reminder for the prayer breakfast that tickets are still available. You can see Burl or Gord if you're interested in the prayer breakfast. The Boy Scouts will be downstairs this morning. If you ordered maple syrup, they will be down there with your order. And Food for Life, any volunteers for Food for Life, please check your mailboxes as there is a little something in there for each of you from Food for Life. I think that's it.
Yes, I have two announcements that I wanted to make. First one, you may have noticed on your way in on the bulletin board, Sarah and Greg Stepler's daughter, Rebecca, married Oren Belavance. Am I pronouncing that right? Yes. And they eloped, but with their parents' blessings, and they're in Hawaii right now and enjoying a good time there. And Sarah and Greg will be heading out this week to Alberta to spend some time with them. So blessings to you and to your new family, I guess, in that sense, too. Very good. So, yeah. Also, next Friday on April 29th, I believe that's next Friday, or two Fridays from now? No, next Friday. Two Fridays. Okay, the 29th anyway. We're having our Fort Church youth event, and a special event this time. I'm not doing this. I'm going to go and take pictures. We're taking everybody to go play ball hockey at Mainway Sports. We were going to play beach volleyball, but apparently, as I said last week, Reverend Curtis has a real problem with beach volleyball, being that he's from Vancouver. Apparently, it's of the devil, according to him. I'm just quoting him. But we're going to try playing ball hockey with the kids, and so Curtis's wife, Johanna, and I will be out on the sidelines, pictures, referee, whatever, but no running for either of us. She's pregnant, and just me. I'll be sending an email out to all the families about this for grade 5 and up. And that's all the announcements I have this morning. Although welcome to all the boys and girls that are here this morning, because this is our family, one of our family Sundays, and we've, like I said, had some folks helping us at the door. Madeline will be reading for us one of the scriptures later, and I know that many of you brought something, because I sent an email out this week, brought something special that describes you or is your favorite thing, and I can see he's down there holding his hat up. That's good. We're going to talk about that during children's time and also during our sermon today. So let's take a moment now to prepare for worship. The Lord is my shepherd is our theme today in many ways, that God looks after us and guides us as a true shepherd, a caring and loving God. We light the Christ candle as a symbol of that in our worship this day.
Please join me in our responsive call to worship. Alleluia. Christ is risen. Blessing and honor is yours, O God.
Glory to God forever. Hallelujah.
Our first hymn will be hymn number 11, The Lord's My Shepherd.
Thank you.
Please be seated. God is ever present in our journey. As we've sung in this particular psalm, He walks with us no matter what. Our God is eager to forgive us when we do go astray, and often we do. Therefore, in humility and faith, let us come before God with our prayers of adoration, confession, and followed with the Lord's Prayer. Let's bow our heads. Almighty God, to whom really all honor truly belongs, You've gathered a people from every tribe and every language, and we can look around the room ourselves and we can see people from various backgrounds and various countries in some cases. We've all come together this morning to praise Your name eternally. We see this as we read into Revelation, the eternal praise that will be continuing one day soon. Join our song with all heaven, Lord, as we worship You this day, and churches all around the world do the very same thing to the glorious light of Christ. Holy God, we also come before You this morning to confess that there have been times when we've strayed from that path that You make straight for us, if we think about Psalm 23, a path of right relationship and peace with You. There's times when we have strayed, and thereby, in a sense, the best word, Lord, is we've dishonored You. You come freely with Your grace and teach us, Lord, what it is to love, what it is to walk in Your way. And yet we often stray and become hurtful in the things that we do, or sometimes the things that we don't do. Lord, we also can stray as we ourselves get hurt and don't forgive, when we hang on to things that have been said or not said, have been done or not done. And so, Lord, we confess these to You in our minds now. And Lord, we ask that You will, as we know, forgive us, because Christ has been given His life on this, still the Sundays of Easter, following our Easter services. The risen Lord has risen in order that we may be forgiven. The risen Lord has risen in order to guide us in a way of peace and love. The risen Lord has brought us into right relationship with You. Lord, we come together now and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God's mercy overflows as a healing spring to cleanse us of our offenses, and therefore know that we are forgiven and we receive new life in Christ. Now the choir is going to come before us now. Well, they are before us. They're going to stand up in a moment and sing what's on the back of your bulletin. They're going to sing two verses, Renata? One verse? You can do that. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, so the purpose of a church choir is also to teach the congregation new hymns and songs to sing. So that is what we're going to do today. We are going to sing verse 1 and 4, but you'll see when the children, before the children's message, we will sing 1 and 2 and then 3 and 4. Everything that can go wrong did go wrong in the bulletin. So you'll see if you go to the back page that there's one line missing at the bottom, but I'm sure you'll get it. It's just standing on the promises, standing on the promises, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. So it's, you will be able to follow.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
And I like this hymn is one I remember from many years ago, and some of you also might know it, but if it's new, that's why the choir is going to sing. It's a good old gospel piece, and it's a very true promise that we are standing on God's promises.
And we are going to sing in four-part harmony, so we expect the congregation to follow.
Thank you, choir. Yes, that's very good. So now we're all going to join together and sing that that great old, also a gospel quartet piece. I can hear that when you guys were adding those extra lines. So we'll stand and sing Standing on the Promises. Verses 1 and 2. Morning, boys and girls. How y'all doing? All right? You brought something along. Yeah. What have you got there?
My Titanic book and my hat.
Your Titanic book. And what's your hat say? Tap out. I know what that means, too. Yeah, I do. I'm cool, too, you know. You can put your hat on for a minute if you want. I know your mom said not in church, but you can put it on for now. You can take it off when he goes back to his seat. I have something I brought along with me, and I'm going to get you guys to tell me about that. First of all, why is that your favorite book?
Because
you like it.
Yes.
Good. And your favorite hat, you like that? Why? Because it's just...
Yeah, I like it.
You like the color? Yeah. You've got some favorite stuff, too, I bet, at home. Something that you... What's a favorite thing that you have at home that you like? You're stuffy?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'm not cool. I'm not sure what a stuffy is. What's a stuffy? Oh, it's a teddy bear. Cool. What have you got? I know it's hard to think of a favorite thing. Now you think I'll come back. Pardon me? Okay, candy, good. Okay. Have you got a favorite thing at home, Madeline? You bring something I know that's very favorite to you. It's maybe not your favorite thing, but you bring it every Christmas for us. Do you know what that favorite thing is? It used to belong to your mom. Yeah, think about it. Your baby doll you bring for us. Okay? So, be Jesus. That's one of your favorite things, I know. But you've got other favorite things. What would that be?
My favorite thing is my Shopkins.
Your Shopkins? Again, I guess I'm getting old. Shopkins, what's that?
So, they're these little things. They're made out of rubber,
mm-hmm.
And you can collect them.
And they're all different shapes and people? Is that what it is? Or animals?
Bakery. Oh,
I see. There's themes.
Homewares.
Oh, okay, cool. Bakery and homewares, and wow, very good. Have you guys got something special you really like? Did you bring something today? I thought I saw you guys with a little stuffed toy. Is that yours or yours? Yeah?
I like markers.
You like markers. That's all good favorite things. I'm going to show you in the box I have some things that are favorites of mine. One of them I couldn't fit in the box. So just give you a clue how heavy that is. Yeah, see, it's heavy. Yeah, really heavy, isn't it? Yeah. This is the third volume of The World, a History. I like history. This is all the pictures and everything in there. And it's one of my favorite things is history. I like to read about that and look at good pictures about from ancient times. I also have, this is what was heavy in here, a two-volume collection of the theology of John Calvin. And I actually like reading this, believe it or not. It's one of my other favorite things. But one of my most favorite things is this guy. You know what this is? Yeah, you know what this is. But it's called a magic eight ball. Because it's fun to play with. It's fun to make decisions with. You can ask it a question. Are we going to have fun today, Magic 8 Ball? Let's see what it says. What's it say?
My reply is no.
Oh, Magic 8 Ball doesn't know anything. Are we having a good time at church today? Let's see what it says now.
Good, not so.
Outlook, not so good. This isn't going well. Stupid 8 Ball. But it is one of my favorite things. And you know, favorite things help to kind of describe who we are. So if I saw you in this hat outside, I know it was you. Yeah, and if I saw the Titanic, now I'm also going to think of you. And all the other teddy bears and things that you've mentioned, and candy. Yeah, and that's how people know who we are. That's how people know that we're special. And that's how God sometimes knows that we're special, because each one of us has things that we like that are maybe different from everyone else. God cares for us, just like we read in Psalm 23, like a shepherd cares for his sheep, and he knows everything about the sheep. In fact, he knows what all your favorite things are. And that's a good thing to know. Can we just say a prayer now together? And we'll talk more about our favorite things as the service goes on this morning. How about you all stand up with me and we'll join hands. Nope, you lost your glasses there, buddy. All right. There you go. We're all good? All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love and our special favorite things. We pray in your name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. Come back to your seats, and we'll sing the last two verses of our hymn from this morning. As we prepare to hear God's word this morning read to us, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are a shepherd of our souls. You call us to an abundant feast at the table of your word. So Lord, open our hearts to feed on this greatness, this goodness that you have by the power of your Spirit, so that we can know more deeply of you and in you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So our responsive reading this morning is from Psalm 23, and it's actually a unison reading, and we'll be reading the King James version of it, of Psalm 23. So I think it's on the alt-facing page to what's printed there, the first one. So the second one, I guess, King James version. And I just wanted to say this is a psalm everybody knows, and it's just even in the general public, despite the fact that many people are not coming to church these days, this seems to be one that's very familiar to the public in so many ways. It's a really kind of nice piece of poetry. It's a great encouragement to us. It's got all kinds of different things going on. But one thing I wanted to point out is how the voice changes. It starts out, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And the conversation drifts over to talking to God. So it's talking first a little bit about me, but it changes as the voice goes on. And it's a conversation with God in particular. You are great, and I will be with you always. So let's read responsively Psalm 23. Or not responsively, unison, pardon me, Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
We are in the fourth Sunday of Easter by the church calendar, and that's why we're still talking about sheep and lambs and shepherds. It's that whole Lamb of God theme that's carrying itself on from Easter. Our Old Testament reading is actually from the book of Acts. As I mentioned last week, we're going to be doing a series of selected stories from Acts, different episodes that take place. One of the things that I wanted to point out is, in sort of general terms, Acts can be broken out into sort of two main headings. We've got Paul's adventures towards the end in the book, and we have Peter and the others, if you want, in the first part. And it's often talked about as a tapestry that fits together. And I brought out this piece of paper in here, but it's not really doing very well. It's all falling apart on me. Because the tapestry, we talk about, and I looked it up, warp and weave. The warp is the pieces of fabric that go up and down, and the weave is what weaves through it this way. And in that sense, it describes what's going on in the book of Acts. These stories of the various people intermingle with one another. They form a very big tapestry or fabric of what's happening between all of these people, the church, and God. And it's a beautiful tapestry, and when it begins to unfold. And as I said last week, the book of Acts really doesn't get read enough. But there are lovely stories and challenging stories throughout the book of Acts. Today's story that we'll be reading are the account of Tabitha. And let's read that now. I'll read it. We'll follow along. It's on page 128 in the New Testament, part of your pew Bibles. It's Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 36. Now, in Joppa, there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha. I'm going to sidebar that for a moment. Keep in mind, this disciple is a woman. So, disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her and laid her in her room upstairs, since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." And she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. Our New Testament reading is from Revelation, and it continues kind of in a way the theme that was being presented in last week's reading from Revelation, where we're talking about the Lamb of God and the praise that will take place when the Lamb is in the throne, and why the Lamb, and particularly in this case, is merits worship. And there's a huge challenge posed here in so many ways. Who will be the faithful, who bear the faithful testimony to the ways of the Lamb in a world that doesn't accept the Lamb? And it's a wonderful reading. So Revelation chapter 7, pardon me, it is chapter 7, beginning at verse 9, page 249. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne and all around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, singing, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you are the one that knows. Then he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. It's a great reminder of Psalm 23 in Revelation. Now this morning we have a special reader who's going to read from the Gospel of John for us, and I'm going to get the microphone for her, and you can come on up here, Madeline. And I'm just going to say a couple of words of introduction, and then you can get started, okay? Just one. So you want to hold that yourself? Okay. This is a special, particular reading that we're reading about this morning. Madeline's going to start down, I think, at verse 25 in particular. But there's a conversation about sheep knowing God's voice. And that we've got that same theme running through sheep and shepherds. And I think I mentioned to you once in the past, talking about how they would keep sheep at the time when all of these kind of writings were taking place. At night, they'd make a fence out of branches and roots and things, and all the shepherds would bring all their sheep into the one center sort of yard. And in the morning, the shepherds would call to their sheep, and their sheep only would come to each one of them, because the sheep that belonged to this shepherd knew this shepherd's voice or whistle or call. And it would all separate it. And it's an amazing thing to see when that actually takes place. This massive sheep standing there, and one person starts to make some noise, and only a few of them come out because they're his. And it's just a wonderful analogy for us in knowing and walking with God. Okay, Madeline, when you're ready.
Jesus answered, I have told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me. But you do not believe because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hands. The Father and I are one.
Thank you, Madeline. Thank you. Let's join together now in our next hymn of praise. My Shepherd is the King of Love, number 691. be seated. Let's bow our heads for just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart will be acceptable to you and your people. Holy Spirit, move on our minds and our hearts and our spiritual ears and just help us to really have a true encounter with you to help us in our spiritual journey this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to go back to the reading from Acts for a moment. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. I read that a second time because I want you to note that nobody asked Peter to do anything. They just said, "Come with us." And Peter, as I said, as you read there, was in Lydda, and a highly respected and well-loved woman named Tabitha had died near the town of Joppa. And people obviously had heard something about Peter. He had a certain reputation for healing, for miracles, so they went with him as an urgent request that he come. But we didn't know why. He just got up and went. They didn't tell him he was supposed to heal her. It's kind of late, I guess, in that respect. They didn't ask him to come and really do anything. Just come along with us as soon as you can, which was right away. And he came, and even then they didn't actually ask him anything. They just brought him into the house, and he went upstairs, and there was Tabitha laid out. They didn't even really point her out or anything. What Peter saw and noticed was not Tabitha's body, but a room full of weeping widows, as it puts it. They didn't say anything. They just wept and showed them their clothes. The clothes actually spoke much louder than any words would have spoken. The story of Tabitha in the book of Acts makes me ask, first of all, one immediate and very important question. If you or I were Tabitha, what would the people there show to Peter? And that's kind of why I asked you to bring along something. I hope that you got that email this week, and I know some of the kids did bring some things along, and I've got some things here. Bring something along that was kind of special to you. And I know that not everybody got that email necessarily this week, so not everybody maybe didn't remember to bring something, but you can all think of something like the kids did here, something that's very special to you. Listen, let me think of Jack. And I went to see Jack at not too long ago, and he showed me your seashell collection, something I didn't know that you had. And it's a huge collection of seashells, and it's really neat to see. And that's something special. Did you bring one with you today? Let's show, hold it up there, Jack. Let me see it. Yeah, now what kind of seashell is that?
It's a textile cone.
Textile cone.
We're still alive, would bite.
Okay, we're still alive, would bite. Seems... That's a good sting, that's right. So we each have things in our lives that can uniquely describe a part of us, something that we're interested in, something that's favorite to us. And I wanted to, what maybe got me thinking about this as well, I mean, taking some of the original idea from a colleague of mine, but it got me thinking about the times that I've been to visit senior centers homes in recent times over the years. Some of these places, as we know, are quite nice. They're almost opulent in a way. They have everything you might need in one place. Tansley Woods, for instance, has several restaurants and its main court for everybody to go down and have meals. In the main walkway through the two buildings at the site, there's a library, a hair salon, a barber shop, a pub, an exercise room, big courtyard full of tables and chairs to have coffee and conversation. Everything you, there's a little store there as well, a little kind of tuck shop. It's quite beautiful. Some of the other places here in town and come to mind is Billings Court. And Billings Court is set up very differently because Billings Court is meeting a different need. Many of the people at Billings Court require more medical attention and care. And so it looks a little bit more like a hospital, although the rooms, you know, people can set it up like a room. There's chairs and things like that that they can put in. But there's a hospital bed generally, and there's nurses on staff, and PSW is there to help them. And this is what got me thinking about this particular when I was at Billings Court. Outside a lot of the rooms in Billings Court, all the doors are kind of recessed in slightly, so there's a little wall on either side. And on that wall, just outside many of the rooms, is a little display case. It's got glass sliding doors. And in the display case, You can see something very special that belongs to the person that's in the room next to it. So while I was walking along the hallway of Billings Court and looking in these display cases, I saw things like we've talked about this morning. There's teddy bears and small model cars and photographs of weddings. And some of the photos, you know, they're kind of brown and tinted a little bit. And there's a young man sometimes in uniform and a lovely young lady in a bride's dress. And both are very happy and smiling and they're just pleased. And you look in the room, you see an older person sitting there reading and maybe watching television, and it's obvious that that man or in uniform or the bride in her gown is that person that's sitting there, much older and frailer. But the display cases contain something that I think is very special and meaningful, as we've been talking about, and very unique to that person. Either they or their family have set up the display case to show something or several things that are important to or help describe that person that's sitting in that room. It's not a sad thing, really, for me. It might be for some to see that, but it's another kind of history, another way of understanding an individual. To look at the various ways in which each person and their family have put on displays or events or people or things that would best describe that individual living at Billings Court. And I often find myself standing looking in these display cases for several minutes, and I don't know the person in the room at all. But I'm getting to know them a little better because there's family pictures and things, and it's nice. Now, this goes a little further even, and I don't want to get on a morbid topic, but at Woodland Cemetery, the mausoleum there, they've done something I haven't seen anywhere else. And I know it is other places, I just haven't seen it. Normally, the niches for the cremated remains, there's a marble slab about 12 by 12 that's put on the wall and has a plaque there with their name. But at Woodland, they've adopted using glass panes. And it sounds odd in a way, but it allows the family to place in there important photos or items that help describe the person that's there and something about them. And it's quite neat in a way. I found myself walking around looking at oddly in these little niches in the wall, and you'd see something quite interesting about it. There's, maybe a beer stein, or there's a model truck, or there's a fire engine or something in there that described this. There's photos. And I know that they can go around and get into these things anytime you want. The family can. And they sometimes decorate them for Christmas and put little Christmas decorations that were important to the person that's there. It's quite a touching thing. They're objects or actions that hold a special symbolic meaning, and they often prove far more enduring than any words that we could say about someone that's gone. People cling to something that the deceased gave them or did for them and find great comfort in placing it in there as a remembrance, and it's a nice thing. And in our story about Tabitha, that's what the widows were doing when Peter arrived. Now, the sermon that inspired this to begin with, I thought it was a great point they're bringing about Tabitha, that the widows all brought these garments out. But the minister said this, and I'm quoting him at the moment. Widows are in the Bible kind of the stereotypical poor person. They were seen as the most helpless and needy people in all of society. He goes on to say, women were not permitted to make their way in the world without a dominant male controlling them. They were not allowed to participate in the economy in any honorable way, so they were forced to be utterly dependent on charity. And I got to say, quite honestly, as one of my books I had here was on history, my blood boils a little bit when I read things like that. It's an imposition of 21st century thinking on a first century culture. Words like helpless, controlling, dominant male, not allowed in any honorable way, these are descriptions from our time, not theirs necessarily. I've been doing a lot of reading and studying, and I have documents on my desk in my office, and I've got tons of papers and essays on my computer that clearly describe a very different world in the first century BC in Rome, right through to the Byzantine era of the mid-third century, that describe a very different woman from what we've been led to believe by the placement of these leading 21st century words. These 21st century words do not, and I'm going to repeat this, do not apply to our character, Tabitha, that we read about today. I'm going to give you just a brief. Roman women who were citizens of Rome, and that meant all freeborn and freed women of the Roman world right around the Mediterranean basin from at least 10 BC onwards, had more rights at the time of Tabitha than we've been traditionally led to believe. Roman women, and in this case as well, Jewish women, absolutely could make a living that was entirely honorable and profitable, so long as they had a skill, making something or reading or writing, whatever it may be. The Roman population of freeborn citizens was by the 6th century BC getting a little male-dominated numerically, and a law was passed for men and women to make sure they had babies and keep them all regardless, because the Roman population was dropping. So to be a good Roman citizen, you had a big family. It was their duty as Roman citizens by law. And that law also stated later on in time as it went on, up to the time where Tabitha's living as well, that any freeborn citizen woman, if she had 3 children, she's done her duty. In fact, she can leave her husband and take her dowry with her and start her own business. She had a right to her dowry till the day she died. And we don't hear that always. We hear about the oppression of women throughout the centuries. And although they didn't have a place in politics and in public life, so to speak, they had a lot of rights that don't get mentioned. And Tabitha is a great example of this very thing. Sorry. I get passionate about this. And now I lost my place. The point is that people like Tabitha, she clearly had some skills and a means to support herself, so much so that she was making clothing by her own hand and offering it to the widows that couldn't, and poor people who couldn't afford the clothing, she gave it to them. And when she died, what did they do? They brought out all this clothing she made and showed everybody. Look at what this woman has done. Thank you, Tabitha. Look at this fine clothing that we have. Someone that apparently didn't have any rights, didn't have any means, because she was a woman. We're going to read about another woman later on in Acts, similar. So in a way, just like those display cases at Billings Court or the niches at Woodland Cemetery, they're showing something very important to Tabitha and the people that knew her, something that helped describe who she was. It wasn't just that she made clothes, it's that she gave them to those in need. She offered them freely. This is the voice of a woman who truly trusted God. This is a woman who, as by the description there, was a disciple of Christ and living her life that way. Tabitha had been particularly generous to the people in her community, but it obviously wasn't just the fact that she was generous that moved them. She'd made these clothes with her own hands. Her generosity to them had been personal and caring and very individual. And that's what made the common sort of everyday tunics and dresses and robes that they were wearing to show Peter absolutely priceless in their mind. They weren't fancy, they were just clothes. But they meant something to those people. It changed their life in a real practical way. So, like my colleague does ask in his sermon, I am going to ask as well. It's a really good question to ask. What tunics would people show to Peter after I'm gone? What will people remember us by? What will they say about us? It's a deep question in so many ways, because it not only applies to us as individuals, it applies to many congregations. And it's a congregational issue, a church issue, when they're struggling and they're dropping in numbers. And we know that the church, many churches are in this case. What about all the good things that the church has done over the years? You know, I did hear somebody say to me one time, if a person lived to be 100, and they died, you wouldn't go, oh, what a shame. What a waste. What a luff. You would go there as they want to today and talk about the celebration of their life. What did they do? Oh, they gave stuff to the... They could get up and do a eulogy. People would talk about it for a while. But yet when churches get to be 100 years old, in some cases, what a waste. It wasn't a waste. All those years they reached out to the community. All that great work of God that went on through that congregation should be celebrated, not just looked at as, another church closed its doors. They had 100 years of meeting the needs in their community, 100 years of being a Tabitha for their people in their community. What a glorious, glorious thing to think about. So, if you brought something today, and Jack's an example, if you brought something today, or you have something special that you can talk about, when we go downstairs, for our fellowship after the service, and you're all sitting at your tables, I want you to take a minute and do that. Everybody gets a turn, not just one person. Everybody gets a turn to talk about something special in their life, something favorite in your life, something that you just like. I like old movies. I didn't get on about that topic either, but I like old movies, and I could talk about old movies for hours, and I've talked about them many times from the pulpit here, I got to say. But I really do. It's something that interests me, and I'm sure that I would hope one of the things that gets talked about is my love for old movies when I'm not here anymore. But preferably, I like to talk about them while I'm here, too. So that's we want to make sure we do that. I don't want to be morbid about this. I don't want to be talking about the end, but I do want to make sure that it's a good place to start. Let's start talking about that. And our congregation here, we've got lots of new folks coming here, and we've got folks that don't know each other so well. You know, one of the things I hear most often when I'm visiting you is that you get described this way. Oh, yeah, that's that person that sits up on the left three rows back. I want you to get to know the name of that person that sits in the front three rows back or hides up in the back somewhere in the back row. I want us to get to know each other better because each one of us, and I say this at funerals all the time, every single life that's here today is special in the sense that God made you. And together, as we get to know each other better, we become special before God. We become unique before God. And we can't do that if we don't know each other's names. And it's not a matter of tags and all that stuff. It's getting to know each other as best we can. And one way to do that today is to share a favorite thing with the folks sitting around your table. And I bet you, as much as you all sit around the same tables most weeks, and that's fine, and you think you know everybody, there's something I'm sure you can share at that table that's not embarrassing, but it's something they don't know. And it's a game we often play. I know with youth groups, we often do that with youth groups that have been meeting for months and months and months. They think they know each other. Now, this week, you have to tell each other something that they don't know about you. And I remember one time Kyle Dorr, who's been here speaking, he's now the minister at Grimsby, one of our youth group meetings, he brought a roll of toilet paper in. And he was leading the discussion. So he said, I want you to take so many, you know, whatever you want for toilet paper. He said as much as he would use, but that's because he was talking to young people, not a church like this. So people were taking one or several or, you know, roll it around the hand, and not knowing why we were doing this. And then he said, for every piece of toilet paper you've got, you got to tell us something about yourself. Well, the ones that did this suddenly went, hmm. So today, I want us to do a little bit more of that. I want us to tell a Tabitha story from our lives, something special and unique and important to us. Because God is the shepherd who guides us and knows each one of us like a shepherd knows the sheep. And that's our story today, and I want you to carry it on in our time afterwards. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So in trusting in divine care, let us present our offerings to God, who restores our lives eternally. Gracious God, you anoint our heads with oil. Our cups overflow with your goodness and your mercy. Bless this, our offering, to your use. Lord, use it to bring glory to your name and help to those in need. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Our time together now draws us to our responsibility and to our blessing that we have from God, and that is to be praying for others in our congregation and in our world. We come before God now with our prayers of the people. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we come before you because you are that good shepherd who cares for us and knows each of us individually. And Lord, we thank you that each of us have things in our life that are favorites, that are special ways, and each of these describe an element of who we are. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us this gift. You thank you, Lord, that you have made each life unique and special and loved. Lord, we come before you now. We offer prayers for those in our community, and our community here, and our community in Burlington, and as that circle widens, the community of our world. Lord, we think of so many people right now who are not in this country, but are in far-flung countries, it would seem, who are in midst of war and battles and fighting that's physically taking place. Lord, these people, we pray for a peace to be brought about with this. And Lord, I always want us to come before you in the sense of, we pray for the people who are in the middle. Because it's the people in the middle who aren't fighting for either side, are just taking care of their families, that often get hurt the most. They're the ones that get bombed and shot at. They're the ones that get taken out of their homes. They're the ones that get sent away from their countries of birth. Help them, Lord. Help them to find the peace they need. Help them to find the protection that they need for their families. Lord, we also come before you because there are so many in our community here, and in a larger sense, our families who are suffering with sickness, maybe in need, possibly in danger, have different things going on in their lives that are affecting them physically and emotionally and spiritually. Lord, give them the peace they need. And there's lots of hands here in this congregation. Use these hands, Lord, as Tabitha did to help those in need where she was by giving them clothing, making it for them. Use these hands that we can help the sick, help those in need, help those that are oppressed and not well. You have given us so much, Lord. And it talks about in Revelation that you'll wipe away every tear from the people's eyes. There is so much that we can be crying about and be sad about in our world. People that we're missing in our lives, situations that are taking place that are terribly unfair. But one day you'll wipe these tears from our eyes because we'll be in your presence. Help us to experience that, and those in our lives to help experience that to some degree, to wipe those tears from our eyes, Lord. Each one of us has someone I know in our lives that's in need. And Lord, we take a moment now in silence and mention those names in our minds and hold them up to you. We thank you for these names that have been offered up. We thank you that you answer our prayers, Lord, that you hear us. Holy God, you are our hope and our strength, our light, and you are our sovereign, you are our shepherd, you are our Savior, you are our risen Lord. So with all the saints in heaven on earth, all the people of today, right now, in the churches all around this city and all around this country and literally all around the world at this very moment, we come together, Lord, and we praise your name, and we entrust all of these things to your care. And we do so with a confidence because we're praying in and through the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's join together now in our final hymn of praise this morning. Shepherd, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Number 485. And we'll take that 23rd Psalm truly to heart. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. go downstairs, we'll be sharing our favorite things, our special things, something that maybe the people at the table don't know about you, so that we can get to know each other even better. Go forth to follow the paths of righteousness. Go forth to follow the paths of peace. And may God's goodness and mercy follow you as you serve the risen Lord. And may Christ, the Good Shepherd, bless and guide you this day and always. Amen.